Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. Today, I am pleased to have as my guest, back to discuss scalar energy, Tom Palladino. Tom and I have discussed the physical properties of scalar energy, where it comes from, certain people who were important in the discovery of scalar energy in history. And he is actually, through a device that delivers scalar energy, treating patients from all over the world. And he's here today to tell you about some of the results he's getting. Welcome, Tom. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you again for the invite back. Great to be here.
Great. So why don't you fill the listeners in a little bit on scalar energy? Many people don't know what that is, and how you came about to deliver it as a treatment device.
Sure. Well, everybody's familiar with scalar energy. It's all around. Our bodies possess scalar energy. Scalar energy originates from the stars of the universe, our sun included. It is a form of energy that is different from that of electricity. Essentially, you have two energies in the universe, scalar energy as well as electromagnetic energy. I work principally with scalar energy. I think it has such great potential, and frankly, I believe it's much more versatile and much more functional than that of electricity. Well, over the years, I've not only theorized about scalar energy, but I've put it into practice. I've developed instruments. I have scalar energy instruments that control scalar energy, and I can do incredible things with scalar energy that I cannot do with electricity. And we'll explore within this hour the incredible results that I'm getting with scalar energy and the great potential that it holds for mankind.
So basically, scalar energy can be thought of as life force energy. Is that right?
That's right. All life originates from the stars. Meaning what? Mm-hmm. Well, in order to have life, L-I-F-E, you need light, L-I-G-H-T. Light, scalar light, serves as the instructions for the universe. So before we have the physical world, we have to have the non-physical intelligence instructions. And that's what scalar energy is. It's the instructions of the universe.
I don't think people realize that because they've been educated in traditional science, but there's a large amount of evidence that is now coming forth. Some of it is actually from the 40s and 30s, but it's now actually being released because it was more, esoteric back then. But basically, when you're talking about a frequency being generated from the stars and then hitting the planets, that frequency can actually form life. That's something that, I don't know if you... what's that Star Trek episode where they seeded a planet with life? Did you see that one?
I did not. No, go ahead.
They had a planet that didn't have life on it, and then this energy came forth and it went all the way around the planet, and then there was life on the planet. It was like, and it's actually very, very similar to what we're finding is true. In fact, I believe there was a conference on this out in Las Vegas in 2013. With a lot of different scientists. But it started out with experiments where they took sand and radiated it. And, of course, that would eliminate any life forms because of the radiation levels. Mm-hmm. And then they exposed it to sunlight, and guess what? Life happened.
Yeah.
Little tiny cells started growing.
Yes.
So that's some evidence that the information for life transmits from light, sunlight, in our case, starlight for other solar systems, and that actually then the next thing forward from that is that there is human life, because these frequencies, are in different categories, but there's a lot of more intelligent life that's human-like on other planets because it's a frequency. And so it's not just our planet that got the frequency, it's other planets, which
yes.
is kind of yeah. interesting.
Yeah, if we look at the nature of, obviously, DNA is a double helix. And many people have often surmised and postulated, well, why does DNA assume that type of configuration? Well, it's very simple. Scalar energy is likewise a DNA double helix, if you will. Scalar energy forms a double helix. That's the way all scalar energy is formed and maintained. It's a double helix. Hence, it's my conclusion that all DNA is formed by scalar energy. Scalar energy, succinctly, is the cause of DNA. And if that is true, then all life owes its origin to that of energy. Scalar energy is the cause of DNA.
And, you know, the Emerald Tablets teach us that as above, so below. So in the higher realms, the frequency realms, you have a scalar energy double helix that then corresponds in the physical world, which is just stepped down. It's just denser to the double helix DNA, which is actually in all life forms. I mean, that's pretty much the definition of life forms. I mean, viruses don't really have DNA. They have RNA, but they're, you know, they're like just before life. You know, viruses can't sustain themselves outside of other organisms, so they're not really alive like, you know, bacteria are. You know, they require other things to live in.
And what's
it's really interesting.
Exactly. What's central to this is, simply put, scalar energy is the cause of our physical universe. That is, scalar energy light, scalar light, which is non-physical, precedes the universe. Well, that makes sense. Before you build a factory or a school, you have architectural plans. You have intelligence.
Right.
You simply just don't build a factory. The intelligence precedes the construction. Well, likewise with the universe. The intelligence is scalar energy. Scalar energy tells physical objects how to form. Scalar energy is really the underlying geometry of the universe.
Yeah, and people who don't understand that, Bruce Lipton had a great example of that. He said you can't drive out to an empty, you know, space in the city and throw a set of blueprints out and expect a building to be built.
Exactly.
And he was saying the genetic code is like the blueprints. There's a lot that goes into it. I mean, yes, that's the plan, but to actually get that plan into a building requires an awful lot of other steps.
Exactly.
So that was an interesting idea that it's not just genetics. He was describing epigenetics, all the other things that go into determining whether genes are expressed or not.
And that's the beauty of what we're doing. We have finally discovered essentially the not only the cause of life, but the meaning of life. We understand that scalar energy is that first principle. It is that fundament of all life in the universe. Everything is attributed ultimately to light, specifically scalar light. From my studies, I have observed that electricity is really a subset of scalar energy. That is, all energy originates as scalar energy from the stars, and that in some environments, electricity and magnetism are a degradation, are a conversion of scalar energy, but it's an inferior form of energy. My druthers is to work exclusively with scalar energy because it's such a novel and such a perfect energy. For instance, scalar energy does not experience any type of weakening. It does not experience entropy. Well, that's a physicist's dream, to work with an energy that's everlasting, that never attenuates over distance or time.
Yeah, and scalar energy doesn't require any time to reach a destination.
Yes.
It doesn't travel like electromagnetic energy. It has to travel through this time-space continuum to get somewhere, and it takes some time. We had another interview, which the listeners may want to look up on www.plastikos.com, where we talked a great deal. Scalar energy may actually help to explain a lot of the miracles. You know, spontaneous remission, we were talking that is probably a scalar energy that starts at the crown and goes to the feet, and by the time it gets to the feet, there's no more metastatic disease in the patient. In other words, it converts. It throws out whatever is causing the cancer and just throws it back into another dimension. And then also incorruptibility, when the saints and other very holy people were found not to degenerate. Their bodies never decayed in hundreds of years. That's a pretty amazing thing to have happen, and that is also felt to be scalar energy.
Yes, indeed. And finally, we see them, if you will, this amalgamation, and hopefully people see that religion and science should not be divided. You're really dealing with the same set of principles. The scalar energy of the religious world that's can be attributed to miracles is the same scalar energy that a physicist such as Nikola Tesla has worked with. It all is subsumed under this gigantic umbrella, which is scalar energy. Again, my contention is all activity in the universe begins with light, with scalar light or scalar instructions. Those instructions are fundamental to the universe. You cannot have a universe without scalar energy. If you were to cut off all the scalar energy in the universe, I firmly believe that all molecular forms, all atomic forms, which would fall apart, there would be no geometry. You would not have a universe without instructions. Well, succinctly, you would not have a universe without scalar energy.
So in your studies, what have you found in terms of delivery mechanisms for this energy to people?
Well, I want to boldly proclaim that, once again, with scalar energy, I am able to control molecular and atomic forms. Now, much work obviously needs to be done with this topic that I've pursued with this focus, but nevertheless, I've come to the point where I can routinely disassemble the molecular structure of a virus or a bacterium or a fungus. In the past month, I've had four people that I've worked with, treated with scalar energy, four people who have reported to me that either the herpes virus or the hepatitis virus has been disassembled to the point that their viral load tests cannot detect any genetic material, that their viral load test or their polymerase chain reaction test is negative. There is no detectable trace whatsoever of either the herpes virus or the hepatitis virus in these four individuals. This is, once again, another confirmation to me that I am working with this fundamental force in nature, scalar energy. I am able to control matter routinely. In practice, I've developed a technique whereby I can, disassemble the molecular state of germs, pathogens. And if I can do that, then that's, if you will, should serve as a segue to other forms of research that would encourage other researchers, other scientists, to likewise control other types of physical forms. In a nutshell, what I'm saying is scalar energy is opening the door so that we can control physical matter and have mastery over physical matter. Ultimately, scalar energy will prove to be the tool which will allow mankind to have mastery over any type of atomic or molecular structure.
So do you believe that it is really a form of scalar energy that other more advanced extraterrestrials use in terms of what we think that their forms of travel? I'm not talking about the lower ETs. I'm talking about the higher ETs.
Sure.
You think that they've mastered this?
My take on it is this. I believe that there are angelic powers, good and evil angelic powers. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the angels themselves are composed of scalar light, scalar energy. What do I mean by that? Well, they're non-physical. If you are truly an angel, you're not part of this physical dimension. You are non-physical. By that I mean they are scalar energy beings. They're composed of light. Now, with that in mind, whether you're a good angel or a fallen, an evil angel, you have mastery, you have control over scalar energy, and they do. Any angel has mastery, control over that dimension, which is the scalar energy dimension. Again, there's two energy dimensions. We have the electromagnetic dimension, and we have the scalar energy dimension. It's my firm belief that all angels are non-physical. They are composed of scalar energy, And as such, they have mastery, they have control over matter, over the physical universe, by virtue of the fact that they themselves control that fundament. They control that energy.
Did I ever tell you I saw an angel in my college dorm room?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was sleeping. I woke up. I wasn't asleep. I woke up, and I looked, and there was this golden light throughout the room.
Huh.
Yeah, I was looking toward the windows. I woke up, looked toward the windows. There's this golden light. I turn around, and there's like a 7-foot warrior angel, male. I freeze. I totally freeze. At that point, I'm agnostic, right? Well, after that, I wasn't agnostic. But anyway, so I went to several clairvoyants later in life, and each of them started out with, you know, your guardian angel tried to talk to you, but you were too scared to listen. I guess it was so amazing.
Yeah, many people.
No, I mean, I actually saw one in just feet from me. And it's the most amazing thing to see an angel. I mean, it's like, especially when you're kind of agnostic, you know, you didn't really believe too much in anything.
Yeah,
it changes your view completely.
It really does. It shows you that there is a spiritual realm that we just can't see.
And it's very different. It is of light, golden light. There was golden light throughout the womb. I've never seen it since. I mean, you realize that this being is emanating light.
Yes.
You see. And so I agree with you. This is a scalar energy being, because that light was very different than anything I've ever seen.
Right.
And that's also true. You know, I don't know whether you've followed Nancy over in Conyers, you know, where she was channeling Mother Mary.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Okay. I know Nancy.
Oh.
And I also know Dr. Sanchez, who's a friend of mine, and he wrote a book on Nancy. And Dr. Sanchez kept, I mean, he was like so excited when he discovered this. He said the pictures in her house would generate light. The scalar light would come through like a picture of Jesus or a picture of, you know, some of the other religious pictures. But he said that the whole thing, the core of the Catholic Church was this light.
He was absolutely convinced of it.
So at least other, and he was a scientist that was measuring her brain waves during these channelings. Okay, so, and it was this energy that was coming through her. That's how she was able to communicate with Mary.
Exactly.
Right.
And just another observation, thank you. Scalar energy can be used for a means of transmission of thoughts or transmission of verbal speech. Astute observation, Doctor. That's one of the many, many aspects of scalar energy that eventually the world will get into. What am I saying?
Right.
Eventually our cell phones will be communicating by way of scalar energy, not by way of microwave energy.
That'll help, won't it? We won't
it
get
will.
So sick from it.
And why is that so pertinent? And why is this so relevant? I'm trying to make mm-hmm. this germane and relevant to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Scalar energy transmission is not blocked. It's not impeded. Your cell phone, if it was working with scalar energy, there would never be any interference because it's a perfect signal. It would never weaken over distance. Scalar energy does not weaken. There is no entropy.
Mm-hmm.
And your cell phone would never drop a call.
Right.
It's the perfect world that we're coming into. Scalar energy has thousands upon thousands of applications.
Mm-hmm.
I've only developed a few. Obviously, many people have to get involved to explore those thousands of possibilities, those thousands upon thousands of applications.
So do you know anybody now that's working with this energy like Tesla did?
Sadly, no, Doctor. That's the real rub that I have. I don't know what mankind's waiting for. There's two energies in the universe. I have nothing against electricity, but I will say that scalar energy is far superior to that of electricity. Why the world is waiting, I don't know of anybody else who has developed scalar energy instruments to the extent that I have and has the ability to control. That's the key. I can control and direct this energy. I hear reports that various governments and various defense departments around the world are working with scalar energy. I wouldn't doubt that, but it's been suppressed if that's the case. I'm the only individual that I know of that is making any headway, or at least announcing it in a public forum.
I had received some information from KOCH, who I think was an Iranian physicist that was working with scalar energy, and then he left Iran and is now, I think, in Europe somewhere. But he developed free energy, scalar energy, and to the point that he offered it to all governments free. And actually, the U.S. sent somebody to one of the conferences, according to one of the reports. But a lot of his stuff, like they tried to steal it from him and break in. And so scalar energy has a very interesting history. And, you know, here's a scientist who was offering it free to everybody. You know, he really wasn't trying to, make money off of it or, you know, sell it to particular governments or anything. So that's the only thing I've heard recently about it. And if you like, I'll email you some of his stuff.
Please.
You can look at it. Yeah.
Please.
But he wasn't doing any well, that's not true. He was talking about medical applications, but most of what he was doing was stuff like Tesla. He was doing machines that were, like almost perpetual motion machines, different engines, different things, more in the mechanical realm, not in the health realm.
Okay.
So, but you might want to reach out to him because he's got a very interesting website.
Okay. It's always been my contention that Tesla was one of the forefather of scalar energy, and that Nikola Tesla, the great scientist, mm-hmm. was in many ways suppressed, and I see that suppression today. In many forms, in various degrees. Why? If scalar energy is as wonderful as what we imagine, well, eventually that will lead to the overthrow of the existing structure. Scalar energy will make obsolete so many technologies, so many inventions. It will make obsolete, frankly, the military-industrial complex. There will be a new paradigm. There will be a much better, much more efficient source of energy. Scalar energy is far, far more efficient. It's relatively inexpensive to use. It's clean. Scalar energy will replace, in the future, coal and oil, gas, propane, even nuclear power will be replaced with scalar energy. Well,
and that's exactly why the scientists working with it have had their labs broken into. You know, the one I was just talking about had his stuff stolen when he was in Canada. You know, there's a lot of nefarious things happening
right.
to the people who are trying to develop this, at least on that side of it. I mean,
right.
I don't think so much on the health side of it, but more on the replacing of the energy systems, because they're making a lot of money off of that.
Of course. And ultimately, this will be a threat to some people, and
right.
we can just surmise to what extent this will be a threat. But mm-hmm. nevertheless, it will see its day. Eventually, scalar energy will be recognized by mankind, ultimately embraced, and then serve to improve our lifestyles immeasurably, incredibly. That day mm-hmm. is fast coming. I thank the Internet, frankly, because the Internet allows for this free dissemination of information. The powers that be, if you will, cannot control the Internet. So the people, the broad population knows that this exists. The broad population has heard about Nikola Tesla and has this sense of encouragement that, yes, there is a better way.
Why don't you give your two websites? One of your websites has a lot of this history on it, including Tesla and the Russian scientists. And then the other website is where they can go for information on current health, you know, treatments.
Sure. My primary website is selfhealgo.com. And that website is dedicated to essentially health. That website will serve as a means to educate people as to the practice that I've developed. I'm able to break apart, to disassemble germs, frankly. So selfhealgo.com is the main website. And the other website is more or less instructional for the inspiration of people, which is Tom Palladino, scalarenergy.com. In the second website, I cite a number of physicists and researchers and pioneers who were, in many ways, my predecessors and served as my inspiration throughout the years. Incredible minds, incredible men and women, but sadly, again, much of their work and many of their discoveries have been either suppressed or simply just forgotten. Well, in tribute to them, I've developed this second website, if you will, to once again raise the awareness that these great men and women should be congratulated for their lifelong endeavor.
So would you like to tell the besides the pathogen cleansing, which you can go into more in detail, but the other two treatments that you're offering?
Sure. Once again, let's consider that scalar energy is different from that of electricity. There are two different energies, hence they have different properties. They observe different laws, etc. With scalar energy, I have discovered that it is rather easy now, rather routine for me to control a molecular state. By that I mean, with scalar energy, I can either break apart, disassemble a molecule, or I can assemble a molecule. Now, how do I do that? Well, it's all by way of intelligence. One of the modalities that I've developed, I call it the Scalar Energy Nutrient Program. Scalar energy allows me to assemble inside the human body vitamins and antioxidants, amino acids, fatty acids, minerals, etc. And the process is very simple yet profound. Some people call this transmutation, in which you can take one physical form and change it, transmute it into another physical form. Well, in practice, I take the existing elements of the body. Everybody has carbon and nitrogen and hydrogen and oxygen and phosphorus and manganese in their bodies. Mm-hmm. I take the elements as the building blocks inside the human body. Everybody, again, has these elements of the periodic table. And I simply instruct these elements by way of intelligence now. I instruct the elements of the body to form a molecule. In specific, I can tell the elements mm-hmm. of the human body to form a molecular state such as a vitamin or a mm-hmm. mineral or an antioxidant. So all by way of light, scalar energy allows me to take one form, one physical form, the elements of the body, and assemble the molecules that are beneficial to our health, both mental and physical health, to nutrify our bodies by way of these various essential nutrients. Again, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, phytochemicals, etc. All of this is done in a non-invasive way. I can assemble nutrients simply by broadcasting scalar light into the human body. I've practiced this on myself for years. It has served to improve my health immeasurably. I'm doing this with a wide population, with a rather broad population of people, and their health is likewise seeing improvement. Why? If you assemble the nutrients that the body needs for growth, for regeneration, for metabolism, etc., it serves as a means to, if you will, if food is your medicine, then I can deliver at least the micronutrients that are essential to proper and optimal human health. It's a fascinating, fascinating topic. I have, again, rather routinely been able to administer this process, and it works. It works because I control matter. Scalar energy puts me in the driver's seat. Scalar energy allows me to become the master over molecular form. I have control over a molecule by way of scalar energy, and in so doing, I'm able to deliver into each cell of the body the nutrients that it needs. I think this is the future for nutritional science.
There is machine that is good at detecting nutritional deficiencies called the Zyto. Have you ever heard of the Zyto machine?
I have, yes, I have.
And that would be good to show that, you know, that you're correcting these nutritional deficiencies. You know, do the Zyto before and then after a nutritional thing. That would be good proof. The other thing that I was thinking of, in one of the worst wounds we have in all of medicine is a burn wound. And, you know, since you can control matter, you should be able to control wound healing. In other words, speed it up. And since we know how long it takes a burn wound to heal, you know, just with normal mechanisms, it would be very interesting to see if you then send scalar energy to a burn victim, how quickly that burn would heal, more quickly than you would expect. But that might be something very interesting to work with in the future for, you know, if you could get a study going in a burn unit.
Exactly.
Because we know how long it takes for a burn to heal. I mean, you know, it's known. You know, it's like a deep second degree on a particular area of the body. The burn doctors know how long that takes to heal.
I've had limited exposure to that, doctor. I have worked with a few people with, I wouldn't say third-degree burns, but with sunburn.
Well, second degree would be what you would want to do, because third degree needs skin grafts. But
right. Like
I said, if you know, there's people who run burn units that might be very interested in doing studies.
And you're right. I welcome that. I'm a one-man show, if you will.
Right.
And
I
welcome participation. If you can imagine walking to a university or a hospital and there's only one person working there, well, how efficient can that hospital or that university be?
Right.
Well, that's my case. And well put, doctor. I need help. I need people to come forward. I'll be happy to work with anybody in a clinical setting. Perform any type of experimentation or trial, but there's only so much that I can do.
Right. Well, but I worked in burn units in the military, and I'm thinking of like the worst problems we have, you know, in medicine, and that's one of them is burns.
Yeah, you're right.
It really is. You're right. So scalar energy would make a big difference.
Sure.
Obviously. You know, it would assemble everything needed to heal that wound.
Right, and to expand upon that, as you well know, any type of burn is susceptible to infection. Any type of
very
open wound
so.
Like that,
that's
one of the problems.
That's
exactly.
Right.
It's
well,
the
now
pathogenic
it's what kills
infection.
Them. Before it was, you know, they basically didn't get enough fluid, but. I studied under Basil Prewitt, who was the father of burn surgery at Brooke Army Burn Unit. I mean, he literally was the father of burn surgery. And he taught me what he brought to burns was to give them massive amounts of fluids and electrolytes so they didn't die of kidney failure. But then what we were seeing was they were dying of infection. That's right. So that's very true. And that would help. The scalar energy would help. Undo that, because that's a big problem.
Well, everything that we're elucidating upon today and presenting to the general public, I hope this fires the imagination of people to see that, essentially, what am I saying? Scalar energy will give us angelic power. We addressed this topic a little bit earlier, how angels are composed of scalar energy, scalar light, and hence they have control over scalar energy. Well, imagine what an angel can do. An angel can interpenetrate any physical wall. An angel can control light, can control the weather. Well, that's where we're going. Eventually, with scalar energy, we will have angelic power. We will have the ability to control nature. Nature will not control us. Again, we will be in the driver's seat. We will be masters over the physical universe. That's the role that Nikola Tesla and other scientists have envisioned. This is the role that I presently envision, and it's coming. It's just a matter of time before we wake up to this fact.
Yeah, I think one thing that has to change, too, is the iron grip that the powers that be have on things. Because they've actively suppressed it in the past, and they, you know, will continue to. But I think that the times that they're being allowed to do that are rapidly coming to a close. So I think we're on the verge of a new age that where that interference will be gone, and that is important because people who are, I mean, if you look at the story of what Tesla went through. And what Koch is going through, you know, that it's just crazy, you know, that how they're being, that people break into their labs, steal their stuff, you know, it's just like, it's really incredible. The powers that be don't want this getting out in terms of, you know, a number of different people producing this energy, especially for energy-related things like free energy.
Right. Right, and what a shame, you know, that an elite, the select, the few, the powerful, and the rich, are suppressing this technology for their selfish gain, and because they're intimidated by it. And who suffers? Well,
I think they want to control it.
Yes,
I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to. But from what I understand, their attempts to control it haven't worked very well for them.
No.
You know, it's kind of something that if you're working with scalar energy and you have spiritual protection, it's one thing. But if you don't have spiritual protection, it's another thing. And you can get into some very sticky wickets, so to speak,
right.
if you're not protected. If you don't have, you know, like the ability to, like Tesla had, he had the ability, and I think Koch has, they have the ability, and you have to have, basically have spiritual hearing and to know what's dangerous and what isn't. Because, you know, this energy is very powerful, and if you use it in the wrong way, you could probably blow yourself up. You know, it's quite, you know,
yeah, it's
you
not
have to
tool.
Know what you're doing. I mean, when you start focusing it, you know.
Now, to recount a story, and I think many of our listeners are familiar, perhaps, with the story. At one time, Nikola Tesla, the great pioneer, was receiving financing from J.P. Morgan. J.P. Mm-hmm. Morgan was looking at Tesla's inventions and Tesla's acumen in a very commercial setting, if you will.
Right.
J.P. Morgan wanted to make money off of Tesla's inventions. Well, ultimately, Tesla introduced to Morgan the concept of scalar energy. And Morgan realized that he could not control it, that it could not be metered, that it could not serve to benefit J.P. Morgan and his bosses, the Rothschilds. So ultimately, Morgan pulled his financing. Morgan will never share another dime with Nikola Tesla. Why? It was the selfish gain. It was the potential that scalar energy would serve as a threat to the Rothschild Morgan axis of
oil.
Power.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were dependent. They were the original oil barons and controlling the power to the world, coal, oil, and then later natural gas. But,
you know, we have to be realistic about this. I don't dwell on this, but nevertheless, I have to deal with reality, and the reality of the matter is some people want this and some people don't. Well, ultimately, good always wins over evil. That day is again fast approaching. I just can't underscore enough, Doctor, how much I'm convinced that scalar energy will change the course of human history. I predict that scalar energy will have a much more profound effect upon mankind than the electrical age has. Now, just imagine, people, what would your life be without electricity? Can you imagine going back 200 years ago without any electricity? And look at the inconvenience, and look at the lack of potential, the lack of opportunity without electricity. Mm-hmm. Well, I am saying that scalar energy will change the world to a greater extent than what electricity has done. It's mind-boggling almost as to where we're going with this and how we will, once again, we will have angelic powers with scalar energy. Scalar energy will allow us to control the physical universe.
Yeah, Peter Gamble has a DVD called Thrive. I'm sure you've seen it, right?
Yes, yes.
And he outlines in that some of the potential when scalar energy becomes our main energy source rather than electromagnetic and oil-based energies, how that would free us from, having to make a living, 4 or 5 or 6 days a week, how it would be very freeing.
Yeah.
So that's something that people can watch to get an idea of what the world could be like if scalar energy was used widely.
Yeah. So to serve that purpose, when I am working with scalar energy in my laboratory, I frequently see that my instrument will increase in power output without my in any way interfacing with it, touching it, or manipulating the dials, the controls, if you will. What am I saying? Scalar energy instruments begin to acquire energy from the ambient surrounding, from the atmosphere. And frequently I experience this effect known as overunity in my laboratory, in which, let's say I sent my instrument at a value of 1x, I'm generating 1x power. Well, I could walk away and within a minute, I could easily be generating 1.5x of scalar energy power, or double the scalar energy power. So what does that mean? I am achieving overunity in my laboratory. I am able to access energy from the atmosphere. Some people call it free energy. Mm-hmm. I'm able to access scalar energy and to see my instrument increase in power without any manipulation, without any further control on my end. All of that speaks to itself that eventually scalar energy will be this form of unending energy, an infinite supply of energy for mankind. And in so doing, we will not have to worry about having to generate any power in the future.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah.
That would change the world a great deal.
Exactly.
A lot of what we do to earn money is to buy fuel, buy gasoline, things to heat the house, and that would change everything.
To hit the nail right on the head, scalar energy will address scarcity.
Right.
Anytime we have any economic model, we have to consider scarcity. How much of a supply of resources that we have, how much time, how much money. Well, if scalar energy is an infinite supply of energy, and it is, well, that fundamentally addresses the scarcity of any economic model. What? Mm-hmm. Energy is the ability to do work. Well, if we have scalar energy instruments, now we have the ability with this infinite supply of energy, which is relatively inexpensive to control and to direct. And as Dr. Kolb has mentioned, once we embrace scalar energy, it will present a new working paradigm. In other words, we won't have to work 45 hours a week. If everything is essentially inexpensive, and it will be, well, I can easily foresee how mankind would no longer work 40, 45 hours a week. You'd only have to work 20 hours a week. Why?
Right.
Because it would require so much less work to effectuate, to bring to realization as to what we're doing with scalar energy as opposed to what we are now achieving and so laboriously with electromagnetic energy. If you have a more efficient energy, then you have a more efficient way of living. If you have a more efficient way of living and working, life will be a breeze. We will be, again, masters of the physical universe. Scalar energy will serve to liberate mankind, period.
Yeah, it will. You're right. It'll also serve to make us a lot healthier.
Yes.
Money's one thing, but if you don't have your health, it really doesn't matter how much money you have. I mean, I have a lot of patients that have found that out.
Right.
And, we have to deal with the micronutrient deficiencies we have because of the deficiencies in the soil. and in our food supply. We just simply don't have nutrient-packed foods anymore. Even if you go to the Whole Foods, and it doesn't matter where you go, the nutrients are not in the food like they should be. And the pathogens are getting out of control. You see all the viruses and all the chemical toxicity is called massive immune problems, and we have more and more infections. Back 30 or 40 years ago, it wasn't that dangerous to have sex. I mean, the worst thing you would get is syphilis or gonorrhea. But now look at all the viruses and all the different things that are now really causing problems, massive problems, especially in third world countries where they don't have contraceptive devices. And we're many of the health problems we have today would be addressed with scalar energy technologies.
Yeah, and I would say rather easily and routinely from what I have developed, and again, my focus immediately is on the ability to change the molecular structure of pathogens, germs.
Right.
Well,
right.
I do it all by way of scalar energy. Once again, I change the molecular composition, if you will, of a germ to the point that the germ no longer exists. I actually change the molecular structure of viruses and bacteria, et cetera. And it's all done painlessly. It's all done by way of broadcasting scalar light into the human body. And as such, people feel so much better. People see the cause and effect relationship. They realize that this works.
So we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time, Tom?
Sure. My main website is selfhealgo.com. If you have any questions, you can send me an email. Either I will answer the email or the staff. The whole purpose of this, people, is for us to finally realize that there's a better way, that there's another type of energy that is far superior to that of electricity, and that once we embrace that and incorporate it, scalar energy will change the course of human history. So this is the uplifting note that I want to leave everybody on. Scalar energy is for everybody. Scalar energy will serve to change, to transform our lifestyle. The world over, I encourage everybody to study or at least be conversant that scalar energy will be the next new thing that we hear about.
Well, great. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, Tom. Appreciate your presenting all of this one more time for us. And hopefully you'll join us again in a little bit, a few months, and we'll get updates from you.
I would love that. I thank you for the opportunity. Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you very much. Next week, we will be interviewing Sonia Grace, Become an Earth Angel, Advice and Wisdom, Finding Your Wings, and Being in Service. And then on the 10th, Temple Hayes, When Did You Die? 8 Steps to Stop Dying Every Day and Start Waking Up. Thanks, Tom, for joining us. I appreciate it.